Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
What in the hell is this? They act like we made up the transcript. Listen, do you think I'm going to make up an FBI transcript? Come on, man. Jesus. So I can catch Will Wade?
SI's Ross Dellinger.
The winner of this game is going to win 9 or 10 games, and the loser's going to win 5 or 6 or something like that. That's kind of how it felt. But this one feels like the winner of the game puts themselves in position to, like, make the playoff.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Yeah, this is the Schoolhouse Rock version of NCAA jurisdiction. This is it. This is as good as we can get.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and want to wrap up one of our favorite stories. The strong-ass offer story. It was a gift that kept on giving, and it's now given its last breath.
4 years.
But 4 years of strong-ass offer talk. The great Will Wade, now the head coach at McNeese State. And I love this. I love the resolution. The independent resolution panel came through for me. The independent resolution panel, which is part of the independent accountability resolution process. Mm-hmm. It's now over. They're getting rid of this thing because it sucks. But this thing came through for me. And so I love the Will Wade penalties. Technically, let's see, he ended up with a 10-game suspension at McNeese State. And he has a 2-year show cause order. Which basically is a really significant recruiting punishment and restrictions. He can't really go off campus to recruit. What does this mean, Pat?
Yeah, he's got, I don't have a direct.
I mean, I could care less what Will Wade can and can't do at McNeese State. I don't care what McNeese State does. But people saying he got nothing, I think that's actually pretty good. I mean, if he can't recruit at McNeese State, it's not like the place recruits itself.
Correct.
So. I don't know. Whatever. He was found to commit multiple violations, according failure to report potential NCAA violations, providing impermissible cash payments to impede disclosure of information of potential NCAA violations in contradiction to the NCAA unethical conduct legislation, failing to cooperate with the infractions investigation. And then my favorite, he failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance. You think? So he covered up the crime. Whatever. I don't know how much you can give the guy. Whatever. Will Wade, he's all right in my book. Gave us a lot. Does anyone have any initial thoughts on this before I get into my point?
Oh, I have some thoughts.
Yeah, okay, Pat, I'm sure Pat does. Yes.
Pat, go ahead. He may not share my opinion on how much joy this brought me, but go ahead, Pat.
Well, I mean, I got a lot of thoughts here. For one thing, the IARP has continued to be the most inept, out of touch, unaware creation in the history of the NCAA, which says a lot. Think of the history of the NCAA in terms of being inept, out of touch, and unaware. These guys are it. They're the gold standard for inept, out of touch, and unaware. Once again, actually, look, this was throwing the book at somebody compared to the other IARP non-punishments of Sean Miller, Rick Pitino, Louisville, Arizona, et cetera, et cetera. But still, these are people that have no idea how college athletics work, how people think, and how business gets done. And so they bring this completely naive mindset to the process, and it's like telling an 8-year-old, hey, this is how Congress works. And you may have it completely wrong, but they'll buy it like, oh, okay, I guess that's how Congress works.
I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill.
That's
that kind
it.
Of thing.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Schoolhouse Rock version of NCAA jurisdiction. This is it. This is as good as we can get. So a couple things here. First off, LSU did not get a lack of institutional control penalty, despite the fact that the football program had a booster paying cash to a player despite the fact they had a player get literally whipping out money on the field and paying players at the championship game, and despite the fact that Will Wade was found guilty of all these violations, including a level one violation. So football, men's basketball, it's not institutional control. Because, among other things, now look, from the report, most notably, LSU self-imposed a postseason ban in football for the 2020-21 season. The decision to self-impose a postseason ban reflects an institution that conducted an honest assessment of the nature and severity of the violations to hold itself accountable. The hearing panel applied significant weight to LSU's decision to self-impose a postseason ban because LSU was eligible for a bowl in that year. Guess what LSU's record was when they self-imposed? 3-5. They ended up 5-5. They kept themselves, that was the COVID year, everyone was miserable, nobody wanted to play. They kept themselves out of the misery of going to Shreveport to play a bowl game. Woo, congratulations. Incredible self-punishment by LSU. Remarkable. I mean, they laid it on themselves. So good for the committee for giving them credit for that. When it comes to Will Wade, like, they actually believe that a guy who they did find gave out impermissible payments to stop people from ratting about other impermissible payments was not talking about an impermissible payment when he brought up the strong ass offer for Javonte Smart. It was all just a job offer.
I'm going to get to those details. Yeah. Because that's my favorite part.
Yeah. I mean, it's just astounding. But anyway, all right. Beyond that, here's with one thing I will say with Will Wade. People say, well, Will Wade wins. Will Wade won in this. Well, let's think about this. He was fired from a job where he won the SEC championship. He's now at McNeese State, not exactly a garden spot. He's got suspension for the first 10 games, and he's got a lot of recruiting and restrictions for 2 years. And as you said, Dan, McNeese doesn't sell itself. So if that's winning, I don't want to be losing.
Mm. Oh, what you got against Lake Charles, Louisiana?
I know, Pat. Golly.
What the hell? Jerk.
The Cowboys.
I mean, I'm sure Lake Charles itself is lovely, but the coaching job at McNeese State, exactly a dream job.
Hey, you better walk that back, son. Ross, you have any thoughts? Because Pat sure as hell did.
Boy, I know. I think he covered all the ground there. I am a little surprised, like Pat, that they didn't give LSU another season of a bowl ban. I think a lot of people on LSU's campus kind of feared that would be coming because of exactly what Pat said. It's like, are they really going to buy the whole, you know, we penalized ourselves during this bad, you know, COVID weird year of not going to a bowl. Apparently that's what it took. And I wonder, given LSU's penalties or lack thereof, how that will impact or foretell the ongoing Tennessee case, which I think is in like the last final stages, probably a month out or so of being decided. And I wonder how that, because I think there's a lot of people at Tennessee that fear, because of the Pruitt allegations, a bowl ban on the Vols in a similar kind of situation. So I wonder if this tells us anything about what's coming maybe in Knoxville.
Yeah, they probably deserved another year of bowl ban. However, postseason ban. LSU is also quite capable, if not likely, to win the SEC and go to the playoff.
Yep.
So, it's like Pat said, you have a bad season and you're going to a crap bowl and you punish yourself. Like, I mean, these tricks are so obvious.
That's the thing. They're all obvious and they don't get them. They don't see them.
And then they're like, well, look, come on.
Like,
it's like, well, yeah, you know, you come home, but you know, hey, you come home late past curfew and you got a few beers in you and your dad's mad. And then you next morning, you get up and you make your bed. Go, look,
And you, yeah, leave the door open to your room so they know that you made your bed.
Oh. Made your bed and took out the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Dad. Oh, okay. We'll forgive you for that 3 a.m. I mean, who's falling for this? These people. So I don't, whatever. They probably, but quite honestly, I kind of want to watch LSU try to win the championship this year. So I don't really care. Yeah. Right. And that's the problem. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you want to read this thing, you're like, come on, man, this is some deep stuff. That A, I don't know where they got. I know where they got these guys. They're all lawyers and they're applying a certain level of like standard of proof from the legal system.
Right.
Right. Like the right to remain silent and you just present your case and all stuff. Let's go back to the start of this strong ass offer stuff, because this is the story most people know, because it's simple. FBI is wiretapping these phones and they're trying to catch basketball middlemen doing nefarious things. Also, they can let Marty Blazer, who stole $2 million, but somehow became a cooperating witness so they could catch a bunch of people who gave hundreds of thousands of dollars out.
Yeah.
That's how screwed our system is. The actual criminal got to put a bunch of people who didn't do anything criminal. Stop giving people money. I stole it. You're giving it. You're the bad guy. I'm the good guy. Anyway, that's how our government did it. They tap the phone. It comes up. Here's Will Wade talking to Christian Dawkins, who would go to prison, about they're just sitting there just talking recruiting. And Will Wade says, and he's talking about Javonta Smart, a recruit. He says, because I went to him, and he's talking about a middleman that is working with Smart.
Shannon Foreman.
Right. And so why didn't we get this done? Why we haven't got this deal done? Because, and he says, this is Will Wade, because I went to him with a strong ass offer about a month ago. Blank, you know, expletive strong. Now, the problem was, I know why he didn't take it now. It was tilted toward the family a little bit. But I mean, it was a expletive hell of an offer, like a hell of an offer, especially for a kid that's going to be a 2 or 3 year kid. I've made deals for as good a player with him that were a lot simpler than this. OK, this is on FBI wiretap. We report, Yahoo Sports reports that transcript and a little more of what's on the wiretap. Later, the actual audio of The Wire is played on HBO in the documentary The Scheme, which is a great documentary. Particularly tremendous starring role by me.
Supporting role.
Supporting. I would like to say star. I mean, you know. Okay, supporting role. I didn't have to go to prison, so you're right. I thought I was particularly genius in it, but maybe others have different things. I don't know what Rotten Tomatoes says. Anyway. Scheme is a terrific, is a very good documentary. Very funny. So here's our deal. He says all that on the wiretap. I mean, this is the, like, he then, we report the story. Will Wade, he refuses to meet with the LSU administration, gets suspended for like 37 days, somehow gets his job back because it's college athletics and he can't get fired for this. And we move on. Now we have finally have the case. So Will Wade, and I'm reading the judgment on this thing. So Will Wade decides to come up with the defense that the strong ass offer he was referring to was not money. It was a job offer. And he gets a bunch of people to say, oh yeah, it was a job offer. It wasn't an offer for money.
Yeah.
And sure. Because of that, the IARP guys say the following information, not necessarily in order of importance, caused the hearing panel to conclude there is a lack of credible and persuasive information that former head basketball coach offered cash payments. First, Yahoo Sports article in and of itself notes that many of its shortcomings. The article notes that it's only part of the call. This is true. Mm-hmm. We did not. Okay. The tape recording does not reference any specifics about the offer. That's true. Does not appear from this part of the call that Dawkins had any knowledge of what Wade was describing. That's immaterial, by the way.
Completely.
Literally has no bearing on it. Second, the case record contains no other supporting information that former head coach offered cash payments other than the interpretation of the Yahoo Sports article. Case did not include a complete transfer of the call, a complete audio recording call, or any other information that the authors of Yahoo Sports article even listened to and or had access to the tape recording. The hearing panel was unable to verify the Yahoo Sports article based on independent means. Okay, so that's what they come up with.
Yeah.
First off, you never asked us.
No. Yeah. I was going to ask you on the pod. Did they call you? Because they didn't call me, and I don't think they called Thamel.
Now, had they called me, I would have told them to pound Sam, but they didn't call.
Correct.
Two, it was on HBO, you idiots. Do you not get HBO?
You can listen to the audio and hear Will Wade's voice saying those words to Christian Dawkins. And then you can hear a follow-up interpretation of the call from Christian Dawkins where he's like, oh, yeah, they were talking about money. That was a money discussion.
Right. So, yeah, the part where it's like he doesn't know what he's talking about, Dawkins is on HBO going, yeah, well, it was about money. Mm-hmm. Now, is Dawkins going to sit down with the NCAA investigators to confirm this? No. He says it on HBO. Does no one at the NCAA, can they afford HBO? What in the hell is this? They act like we made up the transcript.
Yeah.
Listen,
right?
Do you think I'm going to make up an FBI transcript? Come on, man. Jesus. So I can catch Will Wade?
Liars.
Yeah. Let's say this. We were extremely
careful. I'm not going to prison.
Careful. Yeah, we were extremely careful about what we published. Extremely careful. We had a lot of other people saying a lot of other things, but they were anonymous single source comments. We had that solid, and we went with it. So I hate
this
to tell.
This is totally absurd. This is so funny. Like, that's what, like, oh, well, you know, you guys didn't say where you got it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
How about you tune into HBO? They had it too. Yeah. I just, like, this whole thing is so stupid. Anyway. All right, fine. You don't want to. I don't care. I don't work for you guys.
Right.
Right? But here's the thing. I'm going to repeat what he said. Because I went to him with a strong-ass offer about a month ago. Effing strong. Now, the problem was, I know why I didn't take it now. It was tilted toward the family a little bit. But, I mean, it was a blank hell of an offer. Like, a hell of an offer. Okay. If he's offering him a job, why is he going to the family?
Yeah. Why is
was
it,
he offering the mom a job too?
Yeah, tilted toward the mom, tilted toward the family. It's like, that doesn't really jive with I'm trying to give Shannon Foreman a job here.
We went through this and we're like, well, maybe the offer is a job. Maybe, because you have to when you do stories.
Yeah.
Maybe the FBI screwed this up. Right. Maybe he was buying a car and he wanted to buy a truck and that was his offer. I don't know. You got to like, what's an offer, right? But you go through it. So, yes, we're very careful in how we write it. Mm-hmm. How in the world are you so naive that you would buy this excuse? Also, Will Wade gets, we call Will Wade. He does no comment. He doesn't have any, no explanation. He could tell us before it ran. Hey, man, I just offered him a job. Oh, all right. Now we're going to hold back.
Yeah, we never heard that.
Call LSU. We call it. He then spends 37 days not talking to his own boss. You think if the answer was, I offered him a job, that would be you'd be like, wait, that story's all wrong. I offered the guy a job, not money.
Yeah.
They would have ended the story in 10 minutes. But because of this system, they're like, well, you have the right to remain silent, which is true in a criminal constitutional right. But in common sense, if someone said to me, hey, you made an offer, and I go, I offered the guy a job, not money, we would have squelched the story in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He literally got suspended. Then had to go for years getting taunted for strong ass offer. Never offered this explanation up. Now they offer it up. These guys buy it. Okay. So whatever. This is the stupid. You got to be an idiot. You didn't know it was on HBO. I
mean, that's the thing. Like, the article notes that Yahoo Sports has learned, but does not say where it learned this information and what information Yahoo Sports had. Well, first of all, yes, none of your damn business. But secondly, we're not irresponsible here, and then you can listen to the actual FBI wiretap. It's out there. It's not hard to find.
Anyway, so whatever. So this is what they come up with. Okay, fine. But again, whatever. Our story is accurate. I don't care what happens to Will Wade. This is funny. This is actually serving all my purpose. So here's the thing. You listen to college sports right now. We need guardrails. We need regulation. We need Congress. We need everything. Tampering, NIL deals, all this stuff. We need rules upon rules, and we need to enforce these rules. How in the hell are you guys going to enforce these rules? You guys could not agree that a guy on an FBI wiretap that was played on national television and mentions an offer that was tilted toward the family a little bit, you decided, you know what? It was a job offer, even though that makes zero sense. He didn't offer the mom an assistant coaching job on his staff. Okay, that didn't happen. Come on. Why would you say it was tilted? How is it tilted? What, you're going to work 2/3 of the time and you work 1/3 of the time? How do you even tilt a job offer between two people? It doesn't make any sense. So this is my thing. This is why they have to give up the charade and come to my side. The IARP is doing us a service and showing all these rules and hand-wringing and we're going to catch the tamperers. You couldn't catch a guy when you had the FBI on your side. You couldn't catch him. Why in the world do you think all these rules you're going to come up with are you catching anybody? This is an exercise in futility. Am I right, Ross Dellinger?
You are right. Absolutely. And I think so far, 2 years in to the NIL era, so to speak, we've seen really zero enforcement. And zero enforcement of the current rules and the current policies. So I don't know how there's going to be enforcement of any other rule when it comes to any of this stuff when, like you said, this case that seemed pretty clear and obvious in the end doesn't produce the penalties that we would tend to believe that it should. And so I don't know, as you mentioned, I don't know what other, as somebody said to me, and we talked about this with NIL specifically for a while, it's like, if you make rules, but you can't enforce the rules, do you even have rules? And it feels like right now the NCAA does not have rules because it's powerless in seriously enforcing them. And fearing, you know, lawsuits, right, and other legal challenges. And so I don't, the authority of the association just seems to be slipping away.
Yeah, I'm going to answer this in two ways. First of all, the big picture, I think both you guys are right, and I agree with you completely. Look, the NCAA can't catch a cold virtually at this point. And now they're going to catch these, you know, third party tamperings through an agent, through a player, through, you know, no. The one thing I will say, and to Ross's point about whether there's precedent here for Tennessee, Tennessee is an old school NCAA case. It's not an IARP case. And this was IARP. And we have decided the IARP is the simply most inept organization of all time. So the Committee on Infractions and the NCAA enforcement staff may be able to close a case or two more completely. But the IARP, you remember the guy that put his dog in the seat when he was drunk driving? The yeah. IARP would believe that the dog drove. They would. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's wow. Well, that the bowl ban. Oh yeah, yeah. That's a significant penalty. Anyway, and so secondly, like I think that they will try, but I think maybe to Dan's larger point, should they even try? Because they're not good at it. The ways around the rules are multiple and fairly easy. People don't want to turn each other in. So. Like, yeah, if you can't enforce them, why are you creating them? Why even try to create guardrails to something you can't when the guardrails are made out of plywood and aren't going to hold?
Yeah, give up. Get into a different – stop with this same mentality that – and I get it. Their mindset, their training, their experience is we need more rules, and they're listening to their head coaches are all upset because – the world's changed, their business has changed. They have no ability, no credibility, no authority, no common sense. They are never going to be able to enforce any rules. they're never getting an easier case than when the FBI is involved. And it's like, well, the FBI wouldn't give us the entire case file. No crap. Okay, the relative parts were on HB freaking O. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
And they apparently don't even know.
Yes, no mention of that.
They seem to take umbrage that we just made it up.
Yeah.
You know how quickly Will Wade would have sued us if we just made it up? Come on.
I mean, they go to great pains to point out, oh, we're not really sure about this story. But the same guy we did find, because the text messages were completely unmistakable, that he was paying off somebody to not rat on him about other people that he was paying off. But he didn't pay off Javonte Smart's family. No.
No, it was a or any other job offer.
Yeah.
I was offering this guy an assistant coaching job, but I also offered his mom, apparently, the same job. And it was tilted more to her because it was none of it makes sense. So look, give up. This is what I'm saying to you guys.
Yep.
Give up. Let the market play out. You do not have the ability to do what you're trying to do. Even if you somehow got a magic wand and got a federal legislation to get something, you're never catching anyone. You're going to need the feds to also say, we're going to take a division of the Department of Justice and a division of the FBI and use it to enforce these laws.
Yeah. Good luck.
That's what you need. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. B, do we even want that? There's a hell of a lot more crime going on in America. Right.
I would prevent the FBI.
Yeah. Rich Booster may have been tampering with, you know, recruit. Give up. You guys are living in a dream world with this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care if the old school coaches are upset or someone's pretending that, oh my God, my locker room's not going to be as harmonious or what happens to these kids in the transfer portal that don't find, like, they're going to tamper. They're going to pay. It's over. I think the Texas law recently, Ross, you know this, right? Like, the NCAA isn't even allowed to like enforce their rules on the schools in Texas.
Yeah, stuff. It's a little particular, right, for NIL stuff. So at Texas and I think maybe Missouri and Oklahoma and I think New York just maybe passed their own rule, state law, Arkansas as well. Yeah, they're putting policies and wording in these state laws that would prevent the NCAA in even conferences from enforcing a lot of NIL related policy. And we're just going to see more of that. You know, it's going to be the trend that will continue. So the NCAA is, I say it a lot. I know I've said it on this podcast before, but they're the sheep in the middle of the grass lawn and the wolves are attacking. And one day the wolves are going to get there and we're closing in from court cases to state lawmake, you know, state legislatures. It's becoming kind of an untenable situation. And this is just an example, you know, of the lack of enforcement.
They did it to themselves on this.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, some of this stuff is like, and again, how do you have any credibility with the fans? I don't blame any fan. I don't care. These guys, like I said, do I really want LSU football to be on a postseason ban? Hell no.
Not this team. I want to watch them.
I want to watch them win. Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't want that. Like, I don't care.
Right.
All right. They did it. Like, you're not enforcing any of these rules. You've let everybody skate. There's no, like, you know, we've got all sorts of discipline. Some schools do this. It's just like, you can't pretend that this is working anymore. And so they would be, if they, and it's not just the NCAA, it's all these commissioners and all these guys going to Washington and all this stuff, like start focusing on things that might actually happen. Cause look at, you could not catch Will Wade with an FBI wiretap played on national television. You're never catching any. If you bought that excuse that makes zero sense, because you didn't know HBO existed, then I don't, like, you're never catching anybody. This was the single easiest case you'll ever get, and you couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to try to get a private businessman and find out whether he did or didn't talk to some kid's mom before a certain time stamp of thing and offered him to Tam, this is how life's going to be. deal with it. Sports only getting more popular anyway. It's not going to be a big thing.
Last thought on this, the two winners out of this, other than the fact, you know, I mean, again, I can't consider Will. No, that you didn't come
my
to the
point
top
is made. Head. My point has been made.
It's no, your point is made. It is. I agree with you. But Kansas, which is the last IARP case, and they're coming through the door like, look, you haven't nailed anybody. You're not going to nail us. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just get this over with. And secondly, Slippery Noodle, $5,000 fine once again.
Yeah, Slippery Noodle party. Yeah.
Yep.
Big night at the Slippery Noodle.
Tip your waiters and waitresses.
If I'm Kansas, I'm like, we're going to meet. You guys owe us like a huge Arthur Bryant spread. Like, you guys, I mean, like, you owe us an apology. What are you wasting time? Come on.
Do we think that McNeese State, by the way, knew that, you know, it wasn't going to be some 5-year show cause and Will Wade and so hired
him? They gambled that the NCAA would be toothless, and it was, I mean, I don't know if it's toothless, but it's.
I think McNeese probably had some educated idea of what was coming, you know.
I think you just gamble at this point. You're like pound Sam, man. Pound Sam.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. All right. Wanted to get to this. Season is coming. Pretty exciting. We're almost in July. Almost at media day thing. And what I wanted to do is at this moment, heading into late June, we've got July 4th weekend coming up, all that. We're going to have a show later in the week. If you had to pick right now, who are your four playoff teams? Four playoff teams. We could snake. You want to snake draft it or something like that? Or does each guy just want to come up with their four?
I think each of us comes up with our four because it would get we'd be stretching pretty hard if we had to come up with 12 teams.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Your four teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
I can go if you guys aren't ready.
Good, Pat.
Okay. If you are, Ross. Okay, all right. Here's a shocker. I'm starting with Georgia.
Oh, wow.
I kind of like the Bulldogs. They've had, you know, some decent success lately. I don't see any reason to think they aren't still the best team in the SEC. And their schedule, look, if that team is not at – not like 10-0 or 11-0 when they go to Knoxville in mid-November, then I'll be shocked. And I also think they can win in Knoxville and be 13-0, 12-0 going to the SEC championship, which will lock up a spot probably, and you can lose that and still get in. I'm going to take Michigan. Also, user-friendly schedule. They do have both Ohio State and Penn State, but they've got Ohio State in the Big House, and boy, have they had it run a number on Ohio State the last 2 years. So I think they can do that again. So no surprises there. I'm going to take Washington from the Pac-12. I think they're set up to have a really good season. I think they can win that league. They do, I believe, go to East Lansing, which will, you know, while Michigan State is not great, I think that that still will give them a decent, non-conference win. And then I think the Pac-12 is going to be pretty good, and they play a pretty challenging schedule in that. So I think strength of schedule is going to be there for them. They got a key 3-week stretch at USC November 4th, Utah in Seattle November 11th, at Corvallis November 18th. And that game, watch out for that one. Watch out for Oregon State. But if they can get through that, I like them. And then fourth, I'm going to take whichever team from the Big Ten East goes 11-1, whether that's Ohio State or whether that's Penn State.
Ooh.
I think they lose to Michigan, and then if it's Ohio State beats Penn State or Penn State beats Ohio State, there's your four.
Okay, well, you pick five teams there. You wouldn't make a call.
Follow the rules, Pat.
IARP of the system. Four things, and he picks five. Go ahead. All right, Ross, what do you got?
I've got... We match up on two of the four, so I do have Georgia, and I've got Michigan. So my Pat's Wisconsin, kind of a out of nowhere type of maybe sleeper, minus Florida State in Tallahassee. Oh, yeah. I think they bring back a lot of guys. He's been building up to this year. Unfortunately for Florida State, they do have to beat LSU to kick off the year. I mean, if they're going to do this, they're going to make the playoffs. They have LSU. It is down there in Orlando. It's a neutral site, but it's in Orlando. And they have to play at Clemson in late September. So those are obviously two ones. And then they have to play a game at Florida also. So it's a pretty tough road, but I'm gonna go at Florida State. My fourth team is the same team I picked to make the playoff last year and came within one game and a few points away, and that's USC. You know, seemed like they were riding pretty good, and then stubbed the old toe against Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. Maybe this year they get through it. But you know, as Pat said, I mean, I kind of expect a little more this year out of the Pac-12. But outside of a trip to Oregon in Notre Dame, those two, USC schedule sets up pretty nicely. They get the Utes at home. They get Washington at home. So, they, you know, it sets up pretty well there. They've got a really easy first few games. I mean, San Jose State, Nevada, Stanford, at Arizona State. So, and at Colorado, I'll give me USC. So those are Georgia, Florida State, USC, and in Michigan.
All right, I'm going Georgia. No question. Obviously, this first game is to your Florida State point is the big one. LSU, Florida State, Camping World Stadium in Orlando that first Sunday, first weekend of the year, week one. Monster game. I think LSU wins that game, and I think LSU makes this playoff. They are at Alabama, but other than that, and I know I'm giving you at Florida State in the state
other
of Florida,
than that
at Alabama, other than at Alabama, schedule's not bad. Florida's not as good as it normally is. Texas A&M's at home, Auburn's at home. They got to go to Ole Miss, but they're at Mississippi State's one of their, they get Arkansas at home. Their SEC road games are at Mississippi State. It should be, we don't know. At Ole Miss will be interesting. At Missouri, they should beat. And then they got Alabama. Everything else is at home. I think if they get through Florida State, I think LSU's ends up, they may lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game or something like that, but they will have enough as the second as a 11-12-1 or something SEC team to be the second SEC team. I think you get two SEC teams. It's maybe a slight reach, but I like Penn State. Drew Aller, I think, gives them a more elite quarterback than Sean Clifford. The running backs are terrific. They've recruited a lot better in the trenches. And again, here's the schedule. They got to go to Ohio Stadium. And that has been a burial ground for the Nittany Lions lately. Yep. But they got to get past that one. But then they get Michigan at home, and there really isn't anything else on the, like they dodge like little bullets. Like Michigan State's not going to be at Michigan State in late November. It's at Ford Field in Detroit. Right. Before the Ohio State game, they have an off week, and then UMass. And then Ohio. It's like they're not going in with a grind. Then they got Indiana at Maryland. Then they get Michigan. Like there's a lot of little things that set up for them. Some of the trick, you know, West Virginia's their best non-conference game. Like Iowa has to visit. I like it. I think this is the year they can make that pop past and win the Big Ten. And we'll see. That obviously that Michigan game at home, they got two big ones, but if they can get by those two big ones, they are in. And then I'm with Ross. I like USC. Same thing on the schedule. They got the best player in the game. They keep improving. A lot of times year two of a new coach, you see dramatic. That's when they really make a run. So I would put USC on those four.
So you
anyone
you
got, have
you guys do expect the Trojans to tackle somebody this year?
Yeah. That's just been a problem.
Okay. Okay. Well, you pointed out a flaw in the argument.
I mean, you know, there's plenty of flaws. Look, I'm picking Washington. So, you know.
Well, Pac-12 is so good. I almost wonder if they're just going to all not. And then, you know.
They might.
Washington, last year, the Pac-12.
Washington, USC, Utah, Oregon, Oregon State. I mean, that's five good teams right there.
No, and look, there is a USC has got a stretch. Someone mentioned it at Notre Dame, Utah, then they're at Cal, then Washington, Oregon, UCLA, you know, not totally simple, but I don't know. I that's the one I'm going with. I think they're the favorite out of that conference. And if they tackle, if they get anyone who can tackle.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. And maybe we're short shrifting the Big 12 to a degree. I mean, TCU came out of there last year. Kansas State could be very good this year. Texas, who knows? I'm not going to buy the hype on Texas, but I do like the Florida State pick because I do think they're going to be really good. And they got a big game against Clemson. I think it's in Death Valley. But they got that LSU slobber knocker to begin with.
Nobody picks Clemson to be in their top four. How about that?
Nope.
Another missed playoff, maybe be a third, but a third in a row, right?
Yep. Yep.
Ooh.
Trevor Lawrence not coming back through that door.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think Florida State's pretty interesting. I like that Florida State pick. I just think LSU's going to win that game.
Yeah.
That is a monster game.
It is.
Yeah, it's a big one. It does feel like that one feels like, you know, last year when they met in New Orleans, it kind of felt like, you know, the winner of this game is going to, you know, win 9 or 10 games and the loser is going to win 5 or 6 or something like that. That's kind of how it felt. Of course, it ended up both teams won, I think, 9 or 10 games. But this one feels like the winner of the game puts themselves in position to, like, make the playoff.
Yeah.
Yep, both of them came a long way last year, and now, right there, kind of on the doorstep.
Well, yeah, and it whoever wins that then has that little, you know, might have the benefit of a bump later, you know, because that's going to be one of the other.
Oh yeah, that'll be a big strength of schedule thing, and I have a feeling we're going to keep hearing about strength of schedule from the SEC for the foreseeable future. So.
I think you will. All right, a little bit of recruiting news. Interesting one to at least to me over the weekend. Bryce West, a cornerback from Glenville in Cleveland, Ohio State pipeline. You know, Ted Ginn Senior were up there. Mm-hmm. Ted Ginn, a million guys have come from Cleveland, Glenville. Great program. Committed to Ohio State over the weekend. Not a big shocker there, but it got interesting because. This was it was down to Michigan and Ohio State for Bryce West. And there was at least a belief that Michigan had a legitimate chance. They ended up not getting him. And look, one cornerback who's rated like, you know, 4 stars is not changing a program. But it was a big bit. It would have been big if Michigan had gotten him because Michigan is started to recruit Ohio again. I don't know why they stopped, but they did. They won a couple games, and if Michigan could go into Ohio and start taking prospects from Ohio that Ohio State at least wanted, they got this kid Jordan Marshall, a good running back from the Cincinnati area. Bryce West recognized, and there was a possibility that both Bryce West and Aaron Scott, the other really good cornerback from the state of Ohio, from Springfield, Ohio, might go to Michigan. He's probably going to go to Ohio. We'll see. He could still switch. He could still pick Michigan, but Michigan is going to come in and grab the top two defensive players or top two cornerbacks from the state of Ohio, which was, if you talk to people, at least a legitimate possibility for the first time in forever. So important recruit for Ohio State to hold off on Michigan on that. But this battle between these two is getting kind of, it's getting a little more fun off the field too.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, look, Michigan's absolutely been flexing on the recruiting trail, and I'm looking right now at the Rivals 2024 rankings, Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Notre Dame 3, Ohio State 4. Now, per star average per player, it's Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, but that's, you know, have them both up there in Penn State at 6, it's interesting. Matter of fact, you got Notre Dame at 3, you have Stanford at 7. So a little bit of churn. Now, again, it's June. By the time it's December, I have a feeling we'll see Georgia, Alabama, and a lot of other SEC people nudging up there towards the top 5. But the more Ohio State and Michigan clash on and off the field, the better it is.
Speaking of Michigan, I'm up here in Ann Arbor, the buzz is quite loud. Just even though their students aren't really in school, I was at a restaurant yesterday and just eavesdropping over here in conversations about Michigan football. So everybody's pumped up here, and they're building this new Jumbotron up here. The thing is massive. Drove by the other day, so sprucing up things. It's my first time up here, so it's nice. It's nice in the summer. I'm glad I came for the first time in June instead of January, Dan.
I'm glad you didn't stop by my house. Drink all my Busch Light. I don't live in Ann Arbor, but yeah, they got big house, big TV, right? The thing is coming in big. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Well, it's quite nice in Ann Arbor all the time. Beautiful place.
All the time. I was there for that Illinois game last year. It was pretty grim.
It was a little grim. Yeah. Well, you know, to each their own. Some people like sun and warmth. I don't know. Pat, you had a Busch Light peach over the weekend. You put it out on Twitter. Speaking of Busch Light,
I did.
We need a review. First off, people were saying you put out on social media, I believe all your accounts, that you were drinking this thing for the pod. People thought this was a hostage situation and you were sending like the code, how to tell you're not right. Yeah. You're blinking. But apparently you did this willingly. What happened? I know we had a wedding. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
What led you to at least hold a Busch Light peach up into a camera? I don't know you drank it.
It would have been I wish the explanation were the, you know, say hostage situation, but no, I did do this willingly.
Hoping for a hostage.
Yeah, somebody please take me, keep me from this. No, we were in Kansas City. My oldest Mitchell got married. It was a phenomenal occasion. But Friday, so during the day, we went bowling in the morning, and then Mitchell wanted to take everybody to this Iron District where it's just like a collection of food trucks and kind of like a big square. And it was like 9,000 degrees, so it was really hot. So you needed something to drink. And they had it sitting there, and I thought, oh, God, can I? Should I? I'll do it for the pod. And so I did. I bought a good beer, and then I bought a Busch Light peach. And my taste review is that it's better than regular Busch Light because the peach overwhelms it so completely that you can't taste the regular terrible Busch Light.
Sounds like a shot at old Danny Boy.
I don't know if this is I'm so confused right now.
Speaking of alcohol, I don't know that we've talked about this this LSU Jello Shot situation at the College World Series.
Oh, they broke I kind of lost track.
They broke the record. LSU did. I think it's in game three. We're taping the pod about, 4 hours before game three of
somebody won World the Series title stop. Tonight. Yeah.
So somebody has won. But heading into that one, LSU was on the cusp of breaking 50,000 Jello Shots consumed over the course of about 13 days in Omaha. Shattered the record, I think, by Ole Miss by doubled it. They had some help. In fact, they announced today Gordon McKernan, who is kind of like one of the NIL booster type folks down in Baton Rouge. He bought 8,888 Jello shots of the 50,000. And I was texting with one of my LSU guys who has been at Rocco's, the bar there in Omaha, where they're drinking these Jello shots. And I asked him, these boosters and such are buying the Jello shots. And I think Todd Graves, the owner of Raising Cane's, bought a certain amount as well, 5,000 or 6,000 Jello shots. Like, who's consuming these Jello shots? Like, where are they going? Are they being sent somewhere? And he said, no, dude, we're consuming them in the bar. Like, what?
Yeah, you got to have them right there.
There you go. Got to be there. Yeah, just amazing.
The old record was 18,000.
Wow. Yeah, so they've tripled. So they're going to basically triple the old record. Yeah.
And if the IARP wants to look into nefarious conduct amongst LSU boosters, I mean, like, they can't just, whoever's buying 8,000 Jello shots might have slipped. You know, I mean, come on. No, I don't know. It's I'm wondering, is there a Jello shortage in the country? Like, at what point will this?
Well, I think they did run out. They ran out at some point. Then maybe they gotten more, but I think it was one or two days ago. Somebody did message me, or I saw on Twitter, where they did temporarily at least run out of Jello shots there.
Yeah, I mean, do they have to send people to Lincoln, to the King Supers or the Kroger there to get more gelatin?
Good question.
Where you come up with that much?
Some
gelatin?
Rough math here. They're going to end up totally selling like 75,000 to 80,000 Jello shots.
Wow,
$5 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 50,000 of those will be LSU. If LSU wins tonight, I'm not good. All right, here's my question on the Rocco's Jello shot challenge, because clearly Ole Miss had their moment and LSU qualified for the College World Series and just said, you know, daddy's home.
Yeah.
Who could contend? Oh. Who could contend? And could we ever get both LSU and that school in the Jello shot at the same time? Yeah. And like, Rocco's entire staff would just be making Jello shots.
That's all they would do day and night.
It would be just this, and it'd just be bodies passed out outside. Like, you have to hire like locals, like kids from like University of Nebraska, Omaha would have to be like surrogate fans. Like, just have 5 Jello shots, kid, for LSU. I'll pay you. Who could challenge LSU in the Jello shot challenge?
Well, we've done this before with, I think, beer, right? And we've said Wisconsin is a good one.
Though. This isn't beer.
Yeah, but it's not beer, right? So specifically, of course, the LSU is just alcohol in general, beer, liquor, Jello shots, whatever. So they kind of get they're the king of all of that. But like, I don't know. I'd tend toward like West Virginia. I mean, you know, their fan base. But again, they would probably be more like a bourbon. But I would tend to think maybe there.
Moonshine crowd.
You know, yeah. So I would say the Mountaineers.
Mountaineers with like Huggins as team captain. That would be his new role.
Oh boy!
Don't drive, Bob. Just don't drive. Just walk him around Omaha. I think
too
Ohio
soon,
State,
Dan.
Yeah. Is it too soon? I think Ohio State could give them a run. I really do. I think Ohio State would send. First off, I don't think Ohio State makes the College World Series very often. This is the kind of thing that would in just the state of Ohio would get very excited and they'd start driving to Omaha.
Right.
And maybe they have numbers. There's a lot of Ohio State fans.
Mm-hmm. See, the school, from a numbers and a convenience standpoint, I mean,
or Nebraska.
Nebraska, exactly. That was my thought. Yeah. Nebraska.
True.
Which on a few occasions at least used to make the College World Series. So
Iowa State, they love the Busch Light.
Boy, yeah. Mm. Yeah, saddle up those Cyclones and they'd come in force. They do enjoy their blackout drinking, it seems. So
yeah.
I'd give them
a shot. My guess is that we're just tapping this. I mean, 50,000 will one day be quaint, and it'll be 100 at some point. This is the greatest idea, Rocco.
Oh my God!
It's a pizza place. Yeah.
No, Rocco, you know, is building a new mansion on the bluffs overlooking.
He's giving away some of the money to the charity, but I hope he's. I mean, pocket. You know, there's got to be some kind of.
Yeah.
No, I think we made fun of him last year because he gave away too much of the money. He's not like a bowl director. Right, just buy a couple cans of soup for some local charity home and then pocket the rest. Tuscany.
Yeah Dan, I think you were offended that he didn't just
hoard
more of the money.
He was trying to put the good in college sports by feeding the hungry, opposed to what these guys all do, which is just take more money.
By the way, LSU obviously is we're going to win this year's Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge, but by a lot. But the second most is from a fan base I did not expect. But Wake Forest, right? 7,600 Jello shots in really closely behind them. TCU at 7,000. Man, Florida and Tennessee, disappointing showings in the challenge.
I mean, Florida's in the finals. I know. Not doing it.
I've got a theory.
All right, let's hear it.
It's like, if you know you're going to lose, just you're going to just say that doesn't count. We're going to go drink civilized stuff on our own. We're not even going to partake in that. But I admire Wake Forest and Tulsa, both are TCU, both of which made the Final Four. Their fans absolutely showed up. I give them a lot of credit. But I think Florida's like we're not going to indulge LSU in a drinking contest we're not going to win. We don't want to give them the satisfaction of beating us. We'll go elsewhere.
So here's a question. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's Wake Forest, TCU, and then Oral Roberts finished fourth in the challenge. And then right now, Florida is fifth behind Oral Roberts. And then Tennessee, Stanford, Virginia was the pecking order.
Yeah. Virginia, not good.
All right. Trivia question for you. I'm guessing neither of you know this answer, but I'm Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, coming back from surgery. We're lucky there was no amputation, he said. They're working on some blood flow issues. We hope Coach Prime is recovering and getting in excellent shape for the rest of his life, really. Here's the question. He was recently asked, he obviously played professional football and professional baseball. He says there was a third sport that he could have been a pro athlete at. Each of you get a guess on what pro sport Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, thinks he could have been a pro athlete at.
I'm going to say track and field because he was fast and he was on some relays at Florida State. I know that. I think, you know, he may not have been an Olympic sprinter or an Olympic medalist, but he could have been an international professional sprinter, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the one. That sprinter is probably what I would have gone with as well. He was incredibly fast and probably still is.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would be on the pro bass tour. Coach Prime says he could be a pro fisherman.
Really?
Yes. He could be a pro fisherman. He's been bass fishing, and then I looked this up. He's been bass fishing since he was 7. He recently, in 2021, won the celebrity bass fishing title at the 2000 at a Bassmaster Classic, one of these. He caught a 4-pound bass within minutes of his start.
Really?
Yeah. He started trash talking the other people. All these guys are shocking. Running 2-3 hours to go fishing. I caught a 4-pounder and barely had left the dock.
Well, I'll check with my son, who's now the managing editor of Major League Fishing. Check it out, MajorLeagueFishing.com.
All right.
A little plug. Well,
Coach Sanders would probably like to do it. I love fishing. I go fishing every chance he gets. He has a 10-acre pond at his house in Dallas that I assume he still owns, but I don't know, that is stocked.
I'm sure.
And he is a, that's it. He's a fisherman.
Wow. Interesting. That's, you know, a man of many talents and surprises. That's for sure. I would not have guessed that, but
Coach,
he's not going to love the bass fishing in Colorado. He's better keep that house in Dallas.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right. Well, on the same line of fishing, because we do like fishing here, there was a high school fishing championship, high school fishing tournament, up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Beautiful area. Love La Crosse. And, the winning team, Jeff Giffen and Dylan Mladek, won, and they come from a high school in Phoenix. The high school fishing champions are from Phoenix. The Big Ten should be humiliated. The SEC should feel humiliated. Yeah. How the hell are you from Phoenix and you're the champion high school fisherman?
What were they catching? Is this walleye or is this bass or muskie? What are we catching up there?
They caught 10 pounds, 9 ounces between three fish. But this is a terrible
They're
story.
Not even saying
the 14th annual high school fishing world finals and national championships. 400 teams from around the world.
Around the world.
Wow. I don't know what they caught. I'll have to try to find more. They said they were up here 9 days practicing, pre-fishing for this tournament. It wasn't out of the blue. We put in the work. And it paid off, thankfully, said Mladen.
Clearly.
Giffen said, it's a lot of fun. We actually have a lot of lakes. We mostly have deeply clear water. This is a grass fishery, and it's a lot different, so it's a lot of fun. Are there a lot of lakes in Phoenix?
I don't know about a lot, but they do have deep lakes there, so you do get some big bass down there. I know that. But
all right. Maybe still I'm not just underestimating the – I did not know that much about it. A reader sent me that.
I mean, that would not have been my first thought for where you would get your champion bass.
Paul Norwine. People. Yeah. Anyway. So congrats on that. So that's pretty good. Good job by them. Let's see. That should be our show.
Yeah. Lake Havasu, man. That's where I'm figuring they're getting their big bass.
But that's not in Phoenix.
No, but it's in Arizona.
Well, it's, yeah, but I mean, they got to go a long way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, good for them, though.
Good for them. Good for them. Anyway, that is our, oh, Pat, we never got your take. I want to do this. This show may be a little long, but your take on the bowling scandal. You were not here.
Oh, yeah,
people
that's
were upset.
Right.
They did not get to hear your take on our guy. He's married to the Nick Saban of bowling coaches. the most sent story we've ever had.
Yeah.
And what in the world, you know, he gives the interview to the Nacogdoches paper, blames being a stay-at-home dad, tries to argue that, you know, it's not against the law to hook up with the bowler when you're the assistant bowling coach, and all of that. Your thoughts on the bowling situation, because we never got him last week.
Yeah, first off, congrats to the Lufkin paper for getting the big interview.
No, it was Nacogdoches.
It was? Okay, sorry.
Lufkin just ran the story, and somehow they got the viral credit. But
well, yes. Nacogdoches, congratulations. I mean, getting that interview. And you know, you ask the guy for comment, and you ask the first question, and he starts saying that. You go like, oh, my God, he's really saying this stuff? Holy crap, I've got a story. So, no, it's fantastic. that I didn't think we would ever have a story that, you know, would get people more excited than the pole assassin, but this one has done it. The pole assassin Steve, and her monkey.
Steve Lemke, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the headline, phenomenal. The split spare puns were outstanding. this guy, like, he is in the all unaware Barry Hall of Fame in terms of interviews. Like, he had to look the next day and say, oh, crap, did I really say that? I guess I did.
Yeah. We're still open invitation for Steve Lemke to come on.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Forever. Come on.
Amber Lemke. Still no comment. She's poor woman.
Dancing to get her a new, bigger job.
I mean, she's better off without this guy. That's
I think. Yeah. So she's filed for divorce, right? And
well, I don't know. I mean,
that's. I think I saw that somewhere.
Okay. Well, yeah. And you could probably get a better assistant bowling coach.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows if this guy even knows how to coach bowling?
I mean, they're a juggernaut down there, so I would think all the aspiring college bowling coaches were lining up to apply for. Because who doesn't want to live in Nacogdoches too?
I mean, you're just throwing heat on this area of the country. Lake Charles, then Nacogdoches. I knew it was kind of a no-no, but there's not a rule saying it can't happen. There's not a law saying I'm going to jail for doing something like this. There's nothing in stone. I guess it's just an ethics code like we frown upon it, but there's no rule. There's no law broken. This could, the IARP would have been like, you two got to stick together. Like, you're right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. The IARP would side wholly with
yeah, Steve Lemke might be on the IARP.
Yeah.
Like, what? Right. It's just it's a job offer. It's just offering her a job. I don't know. All right. That's our show. We'll be back later this week. Hope everyone's enjoying the summer. We will talk to you later.